Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Getting Hot in the Kitchen. Your hosts, Dr. Dave and Venus Quintana, will entertain, inspire, and ignite your passion for food. Hello, good evening, and welcome to Getting Hot in the Kitchen. This is Venus Quintana.
And I am Dr. Dave.
Ladies good evening, and everybody. Gentlemen, start, ladies and gentlemen, start your engine.
Now tell me that's not an exciting part of any race, right?
It is.
That's
it
classic.
Is.
Indeed, super classic.
Indeed. Well, welcome everyone to the show Monday night, June 20th, actually, the first day of summer.
Bravo.
I believe. So that's
yeah,
very exciting.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for this for a long time. We did not have a show last week. We had just come back from the races at the New Jersey Motorsports Park, so we were all just... a little tired, right?
Yeah.
It was way too much fun. So I'm sorry that you missed us, and we missed you. But,
you know, part of our team was also still in transit back to Canada.
Yes,
so
a lot of traveling. But we've had a really exciting couple of weeks. My goodness, lots of cooking.
Lots of cooking.
Racing,
grilling, I should say.
Grilling, enjoying this fabulous weather, and we have a wonderful show for you tonight.
I'm excited about tonight. It's going to be a fast-paced show.
So what's on the agenda for tonight?
Well, I know we have some seriously cool guests coming on, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to introduce our guests for the night and so people know what to expect?
Well, Vinny Allegretta actually is going to be joining us. We actually were at the Trans Am Racing Series, actually race number 4 in New Jersey at the Motorsports Park. Actually a sponsor for...
It was a blast.
It was amazing for Vinny Allegretta Racing, car number 41. And we got to interview him and, you know, really do a lot of kind of promo shots and chats and all that kind of thing at the races. And you know, we checked out all the really, really cool cars. You know, even some of the race car drivers, that day we went down where we, you know, they had like the fan.
Yes.
What did you, had the fan walk or something?
Yeah, the fan walk, yep.
Where all the fans could come and see all the cars and talk to the race car drivers. And we saw some kids, they were like...
18.
They looked like they were 15.
Yeah, well, they were 18. There were some young
18,
guys.
Right?
Yeah, well, that was the youngest age we saw.
Really?
But you know what I really loved? As we hear this background sound of the, you know, the pneumatic tools and stuff like that, I absolutely loved being in what they call the paddocks, back in the back of the races and everything, and being in the garage with Vinny and his team. It was amazing.
That's
I mean,
an incredible production.
You know what? It is, and I really didn't know till about a year or two that car racing is actually such a huge, huge predominant sport in our country and
well,
elsewhere.
In Europe, though, I mean, in Europe, it's, you know, I was just doing a lot. And I've always, I have to tell you, my favorite race in the whole wide world has always been the Formula One. I always loved those cars.
Yes.
I don't know why, ever since I was young. Growing up watching them and even playing Formula One on PlayStation, you know.
You did, yeah.
Oh, I loved it. I even had my own steering wheel.
Oh,
so, and, you know, Formula One, as we know, is the most expensive, most prestigious race car event in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's basically, you know, played all over Europe. So we'll definitely talk a little bit about that later on and all the different... kind of different race car events, what are the most popular ones, and really just talk about, you know, race car culture around the world and how it began.
I mean, the culture is so cool. I mean, when we went down to the New Jersey Motor Park and We got there pre-race. We had a trackside villa. I mean, it's such a social network around this whole stuff.
Mm.
I mean, we were down with our production team, our executive producer, and another one of our producers. I mean, it was just so much fun. It was just a great weekend. There's so much going on behind the scenes and front of the scenes. So it's I guess, is it more? I mean, it's kind of like summertime, I think, at least up in the Northeast here, says car racing. I mean, I've even gone with my boys many, many times out east to a place called Riverhead Raceway, which doesn't even compare to the New Jersey Motor Park or, you know, shall we say, Le Mans and all of these amazing races. But it's still always
mm-hmm.
something fun, and I really like it. So we got some great stuff to talk about. We got some great call-ins. I know that most people, if you've gotten to a race, what you realize is there's so much energy and everything. But you know what we're going to talk about today is the training and the dedication that these race car drivers have. I mean, you just can't sit behind that wheel
Absolutely.
And being, you know, sponsored by Budweiser and all you do is eat Budweiser and eat cheeseburgers and fries. I mean, these guys actually really take
they're
their
athletes.
They're
they
athletes. I mean, it is a sport. It is a sport.
And I'm also going to be talking about the endurance races,
yes.
which is very, very interesting. And you know, the FIA World Endurance Championship, and they actually just finished. Le Mans in France
yes.
just finished their race
yeah.
on Sunday, 2016. I think one of the Porsche cars won. I mean, that is a 24-hour race. Like, that's no joke. So we're going to talk a little bit about the drivers and what they have to do and the kind of training and preparation they have to go through.
Oh.
For
amazing.
This race.
Amazing.
That is no joke.
You know, even when we were back at the paddocks with Vinny, he wears a water cooling suit because his car gets up to 150 degrees. That is hot. That is very hot.
That so, is I mean, getting hot on the racetrack.
That's getting hot. I mean, we get up to about a $1.30 in the kitchen, but a $1.50 in a car, that's a lot. So.
And you have to be in shape, right?
You
I mean,
do.
You can't be some big fat slob sitting in a – how are you going to – You know what I mean? Like, you have to be fit in a sense, no?
You have to. First off, you know, there's a lot of G-forces type things when you're driving.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Vinny had even told us about a little injury he had recently, which I think I'd prefer to have him share. But, I mean, the sound and the passion and everything, the spectators, I mean, even the smell of rubber burning and all of that. I know our executive producer who was down here, his favorite thing was the Pinecrest Motor Speedway in Toronto, where he's from up there.
Oh, really?
And he remembers to this day, I remember him saying his driver was number 18. So we all have our favorite driver. Right now, my favorite driver is number 41.
Indeed,
yeah.
Indeed. So, but yeah, before, you know, we bring Vinny on in a few minutes, so we had a really nice time in New Jersey, and other than the racing, you know, I mean, the food, they're really, you know, burgers and hot dogs and that kind of thing. We ended up going out with our team, and we had some amazing dinners, no?
We had some seriously amazing dinners. So, I mean, folks, here we are. We are in Long Island. We have a lot of posh restaurants. We're right outside of Manhattan. So for us, dining is a target, you know, in a sense. So here we are down in... What was it called? Millville?
Millville, yeah.
Not Melville, like we have on Long Island. Millville,
Millville,
all right?
New Jersey, yeah.
And I'm sorry, people of Millville. I never thought I would hit restaurants as good as we did. We hit two restaurants that were bang up.
We did.
I mean, oh.
Well, the first restaurant, Andrea's, a lovely Italian restaurant, which came as a recommendation from our producer, Woody.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We ended up going there, and we were, you know, starving that night, and I was, like, literally fainting at the table. I nearly killed the busboy to give me a basket of bread. So
you went corrupt that night. Corrupt.
I was pretty bad, pretty bad. But I have to say the food was excellent. We had a delicious beef carpaccio, which is one of my favorite appetizers, with arugula salad and fresh Parmesan.
Oh, that
the
carpaccio, I could
amazing.
Eat that every night. Love it.
Amazing. I know you, David, had some sauteed calamari.
Yeah.
We had some clams casino.
Which were spot on
really,
with
really
the green peppers, the red peppers, onions. Yum, yum, yum.
Really good stuff. And then I went to Hell in a Handbasket.
You did.
For my main course, which, you know, when I go out to eat, which is very rare these days, right? I mean, we rarely go out to eat.
Yes.
Why not treat yourself? So I had a choice day. Not a cheat.
Okay. We don't call them cheat days.
Day.
We call them choice days.
I had a most delicious homemade black linguine with hot, crumbled hot sausage, shrimp, and diced tomatoes, and it was just to die for. It was absolutely exquisite.
It was to
die. And the
for.
Pasta was just so light.
You know, to this day, I will never, never, ever get tired of the way you say pasta.
Pasta.
No, you said pasta. Oh!
It was absolutely wonderful. Oh, I think we have Vinny calling in.
We do.
Vinny Allegretta. Oh, my goodness.
Bring him on.
Let's bring him on. Hello, Vinny.
Hi, Venus.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Vinny. How are you, sir?
What's going on?
How are you, man?
We are doing awesome.
Good.
Still living the live from that weekend. I am still pumped up. I was a little kid in a candy store that weekend.
It was amazing.
I know. I keep looking at the pictures. You remind me of my son, my 3-year-old son, running around with a smile on your face.
Yeah,
he looks like that all the time.
I do.
Most especially at the race.
Oh, that's great.
Let's talk a little bit about the race, Vinny. You know, it was a lot of fun. You know, I know we interviewed you and asked you tons of questions. I mean, how are you feeling right now, like post-race? How are you feeling?
Post-race. Let's see. You know, I'm not really thrilled with the results because, you know, we had a few issues with the car that weekend. But,
right.
You know, right now we're getting the car ready, getting ready to head out to Minnesota in 8 days we leave from Minnesota.
Nice.
All right, well, Vinny, can you tell our audience, when you say heading up, you're not like putting a car on a flatbed behind your pickup truck. Can you tell them how you live classy on these weekends? It's amazing.
Yeah, so what we have is we basically have a big rig truck that's converted to a motorhome. They're called toter homes. It's a big Volvo truck. The truck itself is about 42 feet long. It'll seat eight of
wow.
us in the truck. You know, a couple of zones, air conditioning, all the amenities, smart TVs, you name it. We got everything, you know. And then, you know, we have a 36-foot double-decker trailer that houses the car and all the pit equipment and golf carts and tools and spare body parts and you name it.
I noticed that you got great refrigeration. I was really impressed with that.
Yeah, you can't bring too much stuff to a race event. You never know what's going to happen.
You know what?
Especially
really, like, there's
away.
A couple things that you really educated us about, and one is, like I was saying, like this 150 degree heat that generates in the car, and how you have that suit, and you have the water cooling system, and you got basically, we call them camelbacks when you go hiking, but you had this high tech camelback, right? You have the water going right to your mouth with
yes.
a hose or something like that.
Yeah, it's built in right into. We hook a hose right up to my helmet, so you know our helmets have. You know, our radio headset is built into the helmet as well with noise-canceling earmuffs just so we can talk to the crew.
Nice.
We have ventilation into the helmet, and then we also have a drink tube for ice water.
So, you don't hear that serious meow, meow, or you do just in the background?
We do. It's just not as bad with the noise canceling earmuffs in the helmet, which you actually need because your ears would be ringing if you didn't.
Oh, that's true too.
Sure,
that's true too.
You know, for that amount of time in the car.
All right, let's talk when the rubber hits the road. Let's talk tires, Vinny. How many tires do you go through in a race?
Basically, on a race weekend, we'll go through two sets of tires. You know, we
so
we
these are like from
on.
BJ's, right? Like $59 each.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, don't we wish? Yeah, no. Set of tires.
Oh my God,
run
those
us.
Things are expensive.
Yeah, just about almost close to $2,500 a set.
Oh,
so you know, you'll spend almost $5,000 just in tires for a weekend.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean they're not just your normal tires. I mean, you know, they're Hoosier Racing slicks. They're designed specifically for the cars that we run and the tracks that we run on. So a couple different tracks will actually run different tires. When we run like Miami Homestead or down at Daytona, we use a different compound tire that's designed for more of a higher speed because we'll be about 200 miles an hour at Daytona.
Wow. Now let me ask you a question. The heat of the asphalt, do you change the type of tire based on that too or not?
No, that pretty much stays the same. But what happens when you get the extreme heat is you start to overheat the tires. We call it you cooking the tires, you know. So what you have to do is it's all in your driving strategy. You know, basically for a 100-mile race that we do, you know, we do no pit stop 100-mile sprint race. You know, our cars hold enough fuel to go 100 miles.
They do? Wait, but tell everybody the miles per gallon. If anybody thinks your car is inefficient.
Oh, my God.
This is not a Prius.
I thought mine was bad at
this
like 90 miles.
This is not a Prius. Yes. And my Beamer, I never have taken it out of sport mode, so I didn't even know. Go ahead.
Yeah, on a good day, we average about 3.7 miles per gallon.
That's insane.
That's
now, what
a good
octane
day.
Do you use? What is do you still use a gauge of octane for those kind of cars or no?
Yeah, we run a 112 octane leaded fuel.
Can you get some of that for my BMW?
We can. It might not like it, but we can.
she'll try it on. We'll give it 1 weekend and see how she does.
Yeah, you might like it.
Now, Vinny, let me ask you a question. How does weather affect the races? Like, what happens if it rains? Can you still race in the rain?
Yes. Road racing is much different. Most people think of NASCAR, drag racing, stuff like that. When it rains, you know, they're done. With us, basically, we change our windshields, we install wipers, and we install rain tires, and we run in the rain.
Oh, you showed me the ones with the treads.
Because Formula One does
yes.
that, too. They run in the rain, right?
Yes. Most road racing will run in the rain, yes.
Now,
yeah, we have
do you get scared? I mean, listen,
setup.
Do you get anxious before a race? And let me specifically ask it. When it's raining, I think I would need, like,
downers.
Oh, my
God, I would be freaking out.
Yeah. Rain's very scary in an 850-horsepower car with no traction control.
Oh, my God.
You don't have, what is that? What is that braking system called?
we don't run anti-lock brakes, none of that stuff on race cars.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's just all different driving style, you know. Basically, when you race in the rain, you never do two things at the same time. So you never brake and turn at the same time or throttle at the same time. You get all your acceleration and your braking done in a straight line. It's basically how you have to drive the car.
So
right.
Let me ask you this. So you have to be so focused, second to second.
Right.
How do you do
yes.
it? I mean, it's hot out there. I mean, God bless Vinny. He's got his wife, his kids.
Yeah.
He's got his crew. He's got us jackasses running around taking pictures and interviewing him. How do you jump in that car and all of a sudden it's just you, the car, the track, and the other races? How do you do it?
I love it. I mean, I love it more than anything. From a little kid, I started racing dirt bikes, motocross when I was 12 years old. I've always been a competitor. And
mm-hmm.
for me, it's the ultimate release.
Wow.
I couldn't imagine not having it in my life.
Oh, my goodness. I love that.
So
you know,
how long have you
I
been
mean,
doing
it?
How long have you been doing
it? I've been racing these kind of cars for the last 5 years doing
right.
this. And this is my first year professionally. You know, I've been doing it for fun over the years.
Oh,
and,
okay.
You know, I mean, a bunch of years back, I started out taking street cars there doing track days, you know. Something that you could do, Dr. Dave.
I'm gonna.
Yeah, you know, you start out, you have a coach with you. You know, that's the beauty of starting out in the street cars because you can have a coach in the car with you and you know, you communicate via, you know, headsets, you know, built into the helmets. And he'll tell
right.
you where to go with the lines
right.
and all that stuff. And that's how it all starts, you know. And then
I'm in.
Hooked,
I'm
you
in.
Know, like
you
anything.
Know, one of my buddies, it was his 50th birthday, and I bought him a they did it at the Nassau Coliseum. Who was the – I don't remember the company, but he got to have a red Ferrari and race around the – NASA
Autocross. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep,
wasn't
yep,
cheap.
They do a lot.
Wasn't cheap.
No. Well.
Now, Vinny, do you get paid to actually, you know, be in the race and then
yeah.
you get what? I mean.
Yeah, they
and
actually
then you
they
get...
pay back. The series I'm in pays back to seventh place.
So
what does
you,
that
so
mean?
Pays
what
back.
Does that
okay,
mean?
Okay, so first
pays
seven
back.
People
so,
get something.
Correct. Correct. And the amount depends on car count. So, you know, if you got a good race weekend, you got 25 cars in class, you're going to get a great payout. You know, sometimes some areas don't get great car counts. Like we're going out to Minnesota in a week and a half, and you know, they're only expecting about 15 cars in my class. While mm-hmm. we do class four different classes of race cars together on the track, so there'll still be 40 cars, but you'll only have, say, 15 in the one class.
I see.
So do you guys pay to go in the race, and is that, like, create a pool or a kitty that gets split over those top sevens?
Pretty much. Between that and the series sponsors. So I'm sure you noticed a bunch of other decals on everybody's cars, and everybody had specific decals on the cars. You had your main sponsors, My Car at Dr. Dave's. Then we had,
Hoosier. Wait a minute.
So, you know, that's how it works. And you know, series sponsors all pay into everything. And, you know, that's how it all works.
Right.
So, you know, like, yeah. I mean, Woody, our executive producer, is a Vegas man. He's betting on us, and he's betting on you, and he's betting on everything.
Let
me ask you a question. Does Vegas have odds on a betting opportunity for race car drivers?
You know, I know they do with NASCAR. I'm not really sure that they do much in the road racing. You know, I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. I'm not much of a Vegas guy.
All right,
only
well, we better keep that quiet because, you know what?
It was for our car show.
You know, we might corrupt Woody. I might lose him to having a whole new profession.
Seriously.
Oh, God. Can you imagine Woody in a race car?
I could, but I'd rather prefer to watch myself in that race car. If it's one or the other of us, I love him dearly, but I'm jumping in faster than he will get in.
Oh, I don't blame you.
I'm just going right in. But you know what? Woody flies planes, so kudos.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know what? I'll go in the race car before I go in the cockpit. How's that?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think me too. You know, it's one thing I've never done. I've driven many different cars, motorcycles, race motorcycles. I've never flown a plane.
Wait a minute. You did race motorcycles with the shin skid metal thing and the whole thing?
No, I do motocross in the dirt. Jumps. Supercross.
Oh my
you know,
god, that's
in stadiums,
insane.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
You're an adventure junkie, huh?
Yeah. I think I was born that way.
Well, you know what? Can we tell the audience what you do for a profession?
Yeah, of course.
So he's got a huge electrical contracting business, right? And
yes.
I'm going to tell you, I've watched electricians in my buildings and houses and stuff like that. You guys got big, you know what, cojones. I mean, to test a 220, actually today I had a guy in my building, and he was checking the phases, right, and whatever, and they were slightly off and everything. He was in my breaker panel, and I'm like standing 15 feet away going, okay, yeah, I'll take notes. I'm not coming closer.
You know, it's like anything. When you have a professional doing what they do, they make it look easy.
Oh.
And,
of course.
You know, basically, you know, me, I can't even go into a doctor's office. God forbid, if I had to watch a surgeon do something, I'd pass out on the floor. You know, same thing. You know what I mean? So when you have anybody who has their trade and they do what they do and they do it well, they make it look easy.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's true.
Now, Vinny, let me ask you a question. So how do you keep yourself healthy? You know, how do you prepare yourself for the race? You know, do you have yourself on, like, a specific diet? I mean, because I have to consider you guys as almost like an athlete. You know what I mean? Like, it's endurance.
You were in some seriously good shape, too, by the way.
You have to go
Kudos.
Through some crazy stuff. So is there anything that you do to prepare yourself in terms of health, food, sleep, that kind of, like, some kind of regime?
You know, I try to eat pretty light before the races. Race day, usually right now, I eat a lot of fruit, a lot of bananas, stuff like that. I don't have much of an appetite on race day. It's been like that my whole life. It's actually very hard for me to eat because of my nerves.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
You know?
I get
but
it.
Do you take supplements? I think that would be a great idea to take supplements if you can't eat.
I take some multivitamins.
No. Okay, you got to have a phone call with Dr. Dave about that.
Vinny, my phone number is 631-821-4200. Let's get you in the office
That's
and make sure that you'll never say that again, please.
Nope, definitely.
Now, Vinny, you and your wife, Tina, have so many cool things going on. I would love to put out there some of the websites people can go to like learn about you. And let's start with the racing ones first.
Yeah.
It's AllegrettaRacing.com. So let me just spell it out. AllegrettaRacing.com racing.com.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys have some great businesses. Venus, you want to chime in on that and talk about, we have the Vincent Allegretta electric.
Oh, you have the electric, yeah. So that's theallegrettaelectric.com, and that's two L's and two T's in Allegretta. I know that could be a little confusing, but, and what else do we have?
So we have Tina's business, right? So it's
TASightsandSounds.com.
Yes,
so, again, that's TASightsandSounds.com. So that's another one to hit. I mean, I was so impressed with you guys. You guys have abounding energy. So God bless. And two beautiful kids.
Incredible.
I mean, you're doing it all.
Yeah, we go to the racetrack, and, you know, we have to manage our phones and emails and texts for our businesses. We chase around two-and-a-half-year-old twins. And then, you know, I got to get hop in a race car and go do that.
So I guess the race car is actually your zen moment, huh?
As crazy as it sounds, yes.
No, not crazy.
No, I actually get that. I get that. You know what? When you do anything with hyper-focus, that's a zen moment. That's what meditation is actually all about. I mean, from a doctor being a geek for a moment, that's what it's about. Hyper-focus on one thing, right? You probably, like, blank out everything. The mortgage payment and how many contractors you're paying and disability insurance and workers' comp and all that. I bet you don't even think about that during that race, right?
Not for a second.
Yeah.
No, you just become so focused. You know, what I'll do a lot, too, is I'll watch races either of myself in the car or similar drivers in, you know, the same series cars to practice racetracks. And what I'll do is I'll watch them over and over and over again till I know every brake marker, every turning point on the track, like the back of my hand. Basically,
so
in my head, I can go around the whole track. I'll know what gear I'm in, and I'll know, you know, where I'm supposed to brake, where I accelerate, where I turn in, so on and so forth.
So, you know, that's fascinating. So we always like to tie all the different facets of the show in and being foodies and being in health and everything. So I just want to say how important that is. So there was a great study, and they had professional basketball players at the foul line doing foul line shots. So they took the group and they split it. They had half actually doing the foul line shots, and the other half just laid and visualized doing the foul line shots. And when it came to the moment of truth, who do you think did better? The ones that laid on their back and visualized it time and time again.
Yeah.
So their focus was so pure that when they actually shot that basketball into the hoop, they trounced the others. So that's like you watching it. You watch, you watch, you watch, you watch, you watch, you watch, and you just become so subconscious, not just conscious, but subconsciously trained and empowered on what you see. So that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just where everything is, where your shift points are, where everything. Now, where that can come into a little bit of trouble for somebody like me in a car is when the car is not performing the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
So it can get very, very frustrating. Like, you know, 2 weeks ago in New Jersey, we had a shock for the race that, you know, it must have blew the first or second lap, you know, and the car was extremely loose. So every time I'd have to turn into a turn, I'd almost have to catch the car and counter steer out of it. So it just, it broke my whole rhythm, and it made it so hard for me to drive because of the fact I've raced at that track, you know, 30 times and know it like the back of my hand in very similar cars that I was in. So it was very hard for me to focus. Because, you know, I was having, you know, with the car trouble.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's got to be frustrating as a driver, too.
Right.
Yeah, your home track, Dr. Dave's there, you know. It was very frustrating.
And the beautiful Venus Quintana.
Well,
yes.
Of course. Now, Vinny, are you into any other kind of races? Like, I love Formula One. That actually is my favorite. Like, do you watch NASCAR, Indy? And if so, do you have any favorite drivers?
I watch a little bit of NASCAR.
Right.
I still would love to one day give a shot at oval racing. You know, it's still a dream of mine. I'd still like to do one day.
Right.
And, you know, of course, you know, you love the Dale Earnhardt Juniors and the Jimmy Johnsons and Kevin Harvick and stuff like that. I got my guys I root for. You know, this past weekend was just the Le Mans 24 in France.
I was just watching that. The who won that? The Porsche.
Porsche won because the Toyota broke on the last lap.
Right.
Winning the race, Toyota was going to win it, and on the last lap, the car broke with 3 minutes left in the race.
Anything could happen in racing. I know. Now, how do you feel about these endurance races? Do you think that's something you could ever see yourself doing?
Wait. Only after he comes into the office for a consultation.
Yes.
We clear on that, Vinny?
That's a joke. I mean, that's like 24 hours. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, they split it up between drivers and they do driver changes. I've done two shorter endurance races. You know, that we gave a shot at that, you know, it was me and one other driver in a car. And, you know, it's a lot. It's totally different than what I do because, you know, you really have to manage your equipment and mind yourself to set yourself up for whatever it is, a 6 hour or a 12 hour race. You know,
The
series I race is more of a sprint setup. It's, you know, the race is about an hour and 10 minutes long.
Right.
And it's
right.
basically
That's
wide open the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
It's way more intense that way.
Right.
Endurance racing, get into a lot of strategy, which is definitely something I would look into doing. The team that actually builds the cars that I race in the Trans Am series, they're actually building these LMP3 prototype cars to race over in Europe and here for endurance races. So they're getting into it as well. So you never really know what can happen.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should seriously have you look into that because if we're going to be involved with you guys, I mean, Europe, I mean, I hate traveling to wonderful spots. But, you know, we'll do it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll just go by myself.
We're going to have to make it.
We'll leave Dr. Dave behind, Vinny.
Extra baggage, you know. All right. So, you know what, Vinny? We want to hear about this new car. Tell us about the new car.
Yes, before we wrap.
All right. So, we have a brand new 2016 Corvette being built right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to debut it at the Mid-Ohio race, which is August 13th in Lexington, Ohio. And, you know, this new car is basically, it's going to be the creme de la creme, I guess you'd say. You know, the best of everything, electronics in it, the whole entire body of the car, all interior panels, all carbon fiber. It's going to be about 250 pounds lighter than the car I'm in right now.
And is that significant in car racing?
It's very significant.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow.
Yes, very significant. Different type of transmission. Where I have to use a clutch and we run a shifter and an H pattern in this car. You know, the new car has a sequential transmission. It's basically you can hold it wide open and just shift gears. You know, shift
is
up.
That,
you know?
Holy smoke!
You mean where you actually don't use a foot clutch? You just zoom.
Yeah, you just use the clutch to take off. That's it. Yep.
And that's
very
interesting. What we saw is you had to push the car off because that clutch gear ratio, you can't like actually get it off on your own, right, or something like that.
Yeah, well, you'll notice that in a lot of race cars, especially you'll notice it in NASCAR when they pit there. You'll always see them like burn out when they leave. And we run these tiny, small, little lightweight clutches in these cars, and they're basically like an on-off switch.
You go.
It's harder to drive these cars slow than it is to drive on a racetrack at speed. Sometimes just getting in out of the pit or out of the garage is like, forget it, because there's hardly any turning radius either with those huge tires either.
That makes sense, yeah. Well, I imagine that car is like a thoroughbred horse. But what I was going to say is, you know, like as your pit team pushes your car out onto the track, occasionally, I've been a student in the driveway.
Uh-huh.
No, it works.
Yeah.
It works real good, Vin.
Yeah,
it does.
Sure. Okay, in your dreams.
And then I spin out, and the neighbors look at me like that crazy doctor son of a bitch. Can we
have
him?
Hey, forget about it.
Forget
Shall
about
move?
It.
Forget about it.
Forget about
oh,
it.
God, you're too much.
Oh, Vinny, well, it was so great, Vinny. We have to wrap now, but it was so wonderful having you on. Thank you so much for calling in. And
oh,
I'm so
you,
excited to see you again,
yeah.
to come see you at another race. And
yeah, hopefully
anytime
we'll
you
want to
call
Honda.
In and talk about what's going on, we love
yes,
having our fan base know what's going on with the people that we love to follow,
definitely.
Like you. So anytime, call in. You don't have to have it pre-scheduled.
Excellent.
Thanks so much, guys.
Oh, thank you, Vinny, and good luck in Minnesota, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Okay, have a good
night.
Nighty-night,
Zegala. Good night to Tina and the kids,
yeah.
okay? Please, please.
You got it.
All right, have a great night, Vin.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, phones are ringing again. Let's bring it on. Who do we have?
Oh, do we have Elaine on the
Elaine
line?
From
Elaine
from Long Island.
Hello,
yes.
Elaine.
Hello, Venus.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks so much for holding. What's going on?
Did, let's see now. How do I say this? Did Dr. Dave tell you what I've done in the past week and a half?
Well, I know that you've lost some weight, quite a good deal of weight. Congratulations.
We've lost officially now 11 pounds.
Woo-wee! Oh, my goodness, Elaine, this is amazing. In a week and a half?
Yep.
Wow, I am so jealous. I can't even lose 1 pound in a week. I don't understand what's going on, but that's great, Elaine. Congrats.
Trainer, I think that's what's causing it.
Causing it?
What?
The trainer is 26 years old and nice and adorable looking.
Well, that is the number one impetus for weight loss, if I may say so, for many people. So that's great. That's great. So tell us a couple quick questions. We have another set of our guests coming in real soon, so we're going to do a quick night with you tonight. So have you ever been to a car race?
No, I can do my own car race with my own car. Thank you very much.
All
oh, really?
Right.
Is that so? Okay.
All
well,
right.
We can't wait to see that.
All right. Well, I got to say, you are doing so well with your weight loss goals. That's amazing.
Oh, Elaine, we're so proud
yeah.
of you. So
now
proud of you.
Dr. Dave, now all I need is a Jewish guy.
Now, listen, I'm a physician and a matchmaker, but you know what? For the right price, I will find you a Jewish guy. Perfect.
Yes, we Oy. Will. We will.
So, anyway, we always love you calling in and following us, but tonight I want you
we
to get back in the stands and listen to the racetrack humming.
Yes.
We have another caller coming in.
We actually have some other guests calling
Elaine,
in.
You keep those goals
oh,
going.
Elaine,
I am so proud of
you.
Kudos,
so proud.
Girl.
I love you. All right, Elaine, well, you have a good night, okay? We'll talk to you soon.
Nighty-night. So
have
we.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So who do we have on the line now?
We have Ed and Tracy, who are big car racing aficionados. So let's bring them on.
Aficionados or aficionados?
Aficionados. Oh, whatever. I mean, you want to be aficionado, you can be aficionado or aficionado.
Hello,
like...
Ed and Tracy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How about we're affectionate aficionados?
Oh,
now that's Tracy
that's
to the rescue.
Better.
Thank you.
That's
you
better.
Just saved a really bad night.
You saved it for him.
She was going to hold out on me for like a week.
So what's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, just hectic, running around like crazy, just back from the races. What a weekend.
Ooh.
Holy cow.
Now,
race
what races? Where were you,
planes.
Le Mans?
No, we went to the Formula One race in Montreal, Canada.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
By the way, Ed, all night as she's researching all this
I
stuff,
love Formula One.
I'm pretty sure if the right Formula One guy comes by, I'm out. I'm out.
That's
I'm
a good
out.
Possibility.
Yeah, well, that's,
yeah.
that's
not enough.
What happens with the girls.
A lot of horsepower under that hood,
oh, that's
right?
So much fun. So tell us a little bit about the race. Who won? Like, what were your highlights?
All right. So let me give you the lowdown here. So when
yes.
you go to a Formula One race, It's a three-day affair. On Friday, they have what's called free practice. So the guys go out two times during the day, each time for 90 minutes, and they practice. Then the next day they go out for a practice, and then they qualify. And then the following day on Sunday they have their race. So it's a three-day affair, and it's quite involved. It's a lot of fun, and the Canadians are absolutely the most enjoyable people to see a race with.
They're the best.
So, you know, Ed and Tracy did invite me up to a race, what, 2-3 years back?
Yeah, I think it was about 3 years, yeah.
Yeah, and and why was it? I don't know. I think I was going to get stuck in the back of somebody's trunk going up there. I don't know. It was the whole commute thing wasn't working for me. Is that true?
Yeah, I think, you know, when it's race weekend, the best we could find you was a shoebox to sleep in, I think. And I think you're a little larger than that.
Well, now that I know about the power and amp of these races, I guess the shoebox might fit, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, we've been doing it now for going on 20 years, and it's our little ritual. And, you know, Tracy was really gracious in the very beginning of our marriage to, you know, allow me my little fetish, so to speak.
Aww.
And after the first race or two, she was really into it. And so now this is something she enjoys as well.
I'm a fan.
Well, you know what? I always love seeing the pictures of you two. Now, I know, Ed, you have done some racing on your own.
Well, what I do right now that I enjoy, which is very, very good budget racing for those fans out there that want to get into racing. You know, we could talk about all kinds of sophisticated things. The thing that really is the beginning of all racing is karting, professional karting. And it's very reasonable and it's very safe. And it's a way for anybody to enjoy the sensation of racing, including G-forces. So I would tell everybody that's out there that wants to learn about racing, go to a local go-karting track and see if you like it. Cost you $50, $75, and, you know, boom, before you know it, you'll probably be hooked.
All right. So, Tracy, can you speak to the way after the big hurricane, and I don't remember which one it was, I was up with you guys with this beautiful...
Irene.
All right. So can you please explain to the listening group here how Ed is more than just a karting race car driver, but somebody who races to get his beautiful wife on a plane to China with some big jackass in an SUV at the time following him.
We were also in an SUV, but he just drives it a little bit faster than you did. But well, I mean, everyone a lot of people get a little nervous when they're in the car with Ed. And, of course, I don't because I've seen him in a race car, and I know how safe he is. And once you're used to it, it just doesn't bother you anymore because there's a trust factor there. And, you know, it doesn't bother me, although it might make other people sweat a little bit. But
aggressive as you think that is, that's nothing like being in the race car, Dave.
Oh, well, of course not. But, Ed, I remember this. It was a big storm, and we barely got out of the, New Paltz, right?
We barely
got out of there
alive, Dave.
Oh, my God, right. I mean, there was scuba gear we had and everything. No, listen. You put Tracy out to measure the water, and it was up to her hip.
Yeah, that's right. And
you remember that, right?
Brave,
you do.
Yeah, and Brave Ed sent Tracy out there to measure it into the torrential rain.
So now, do you also remember, I said, I need a good cup of coffee. So you were gracious enough to pull over, and I got a cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and I put it in my holster there, the cup holder. And once we got on the highway, I got home like 6 hours later, and that cup of coffee was ice cold because I could never take my hands off the wheel to try it.
Yeah, I remember a couple of times we went through some pretty deep water, and I thought, there's no way we're going to get home, but I better keep my mouth shut and keep driving as quick as I can.
But, you know, Dave, we've seen you in your little race toy there, and you drive pretty swift down the LIE every now and again.
Well, listen, you know, when it comes to, like, male libido and the whole thing, after that experience coming down from New Paltz to New York City, following Ed in my big SUV that could barely hit 80, I had to upgrade to a BMW. It's only gone up from there.
Well, the next thing you got to do is go out and do an arrive and drive with the BMW rep, have him take you up to Lime Rock or somewhere with a real driver, and take an afternoon of training in your own car. And boy, oh boy, the lights will go on, brother. It'll change your life. It's definitely something that's worth it. And I would suggest it for Venus as well. You guys would really enjoy it.
Do you only go and see Formula One races, or do you go to Indy or any kind of other NASCAR races?
No, we're pretty much, Formula One is kind of the top of racing. I stopped watching the oval racing. I watch one oval race a year. That's the Indianapolis 500, simply because that's, the one I have to walk.
Right.
But,
now,
have
you been to any Formula One races in Europe?
No, but we've been to the track. We've been to both tracks a week after there was a race there. So we were in Valencia, Spain once, and in Monte Carlo once.
And I've been to the China race twice.
Yeah, Tracy's been to Shanghai twice. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
But Ed also was called, helped with the announcing of a race series a few years ago.
Yeah, there was a support series for the American Le Mans race series. It was called the Speed World Challenge, and I did that for a season. I called, I was the color announcer.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's amazing.
Start your engine.
Yes, I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah, racing is a lot of fun. There's something about being in a car at the absolute limit and knowing that, at the end of the straight, you have to hit the brakes and do something. And if you don't do it right, there's a potential for disaster. And you stop worrying about the broken nail. Saggy skin under my arm, I'm not concerned anymore,
That's for sure. Now, this is getting hot in the kitchen, right? And you guys are foodies, and I know that tried and true. So when you go to Canada during the race weekend, do you have a hot spot, a favorite restaurant? What do you guys do?
Well, I went vegan at the top of the year, but I gave my wife the admonition that when we go to Montreal, all bets are off. So we started early. We went immediately to the Pork Rillette. There's a beautiful little French village restaurant that's right near where we stay with our friend Ron. So we started with the local Rillette. We had a beautiful Kronenbourg 1664 with it. Oh yeah, and then we continued to eat. We had foie gras and we had
confit.
You name it, we ate. It was beautiful.
Well, the other thing is what they eat in the stands is so different because if you go to a sporting event in the U.S. you'll have hot dogs, hamburgers, chips or whatever. But you go there and it's everyone brings their cooler and they bring fresh fruit and cheese and, freshly made sandwiches. And it's like a beautiful picnic and everyone just brings it into the stands. They bring wine into the stands, even though you're not supposed to because it's glass.
Well, of course.
We all just bring it in anyway. But, it's really lovely. It's like a really nice picnic. And they just, especially in Montreal and Quebec, because it is French, they treat food a little bit differently than a lot of people do. It's very important to them.
So now, executive producer is asking, do you guys eat poutine?
Oh,
I have to
poutine.
Say that very carefully. You noticed that, right?
No, poutine.
Absolutely. we had poutine in the stand. Have to have it when you're in Montreal, yep.
It's awesome.
We
had some other poutine in Mont Tremblant, which was absolutely spectacular. And we did an absolutely amazing zip line up there, which we did some GoPro footage of, which was just phenomenal. It was great.
Now, can you tell our listeners what poutine is? Or I'm just going to get in trouble before the night's over.
Poutine is French fries with gravy poured over it, and cheese curd, which we don't really have here in the U.S.
No.
It's delicious. It's just it's a little bit salty, and I don't know how to describe it, really.
Well, one thing's for sure.
You know what? It's like a hangover help, because I remember being in Vegas, and I had it with duck confit, so I put the best of the worst together.
Oh, yeah. That's serious, confit and poutine. Wow.
Yes,
that's
just
a culinary
one dirty, dirty experience.
So that would make it poutine.
Yeah, yeah. Right, you know, I did a little quick cardio eval afterwards, and I made it through. So, but that was so, so good.
Leslie, our seats are all the way up at the very top of the stands, so we get a lot of exercise going up and down the stairs all day long for 3 days. So we, you know, we justify everything that we eat that way.
Well, you know what?
And
listen, if that works, that works, right?
Hey, that's
now
a lot
you
of
just
stairs,
keep
man.
Telling yourself that, Tracy. I mean, we got a beautiful couple here, and you're doing all the right things. But if you really think you could walk off poutine or any of the above, just walking up the stands, we're gonna have a little conversation after the show. You'll just call me afterwards.
Well,
have a discussion,
please. The track is really big, and you have to park really far away. So you know, there's some exercise.
So no VIP parking, huh? None at all.
Well, that's a story for another show. But I will say
well,
that.
The next time you guys call in, I want to share what wonderful hosts you were when I was in this city at the Hospital for Special Surgery after I shattered my pelvis. We made nurses' head spin with all the wonderful wine and beautiful Italian food you brought in. Let's just keep that as a teaser. Next time you guys call in, I'd love to discuss that.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, we loved being had by you this evening, you two.
Oh, thank you guys so much for calling in. We hope to talk to you very soon.
All right.
Hope to see you soon.
Love you both.
Bye,
love you
guys.
Too, guys.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Great couple. Known them for a long time. Great energy. A lot of fun. Right, Venus? Got to meet them recently. A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm, that was fun.
So what's next on the queue? Do we have the weird... Oh!
All doctors to the ER.
I guess I'm jumping in real quick, so let me do that, and then I know we got the
all
weird, wacky, and wonderful
ER.
Coming up. So you know what, Venus? We have been doing so much amazing cooking, but we recently have been looking at the most wonderful ways of redoing food. We've been talking about encore performances, and we did some great food this week. But one of the things that was so simple... We had grilled real slow. We had some smoky chicken thighs on the grill over some real wonderful fresh cowboy charcoal. And the next day we made a beautiful Waldorf salad with green apple. So one of the things I wanted to discuss tonight is how you can take something even like a Waldorf salad, put some green apple in, and improve the health. So instead of what you would traditionally do is make that a mayonnaise-based thing, I did some grain mustard, a splash of mayonnaise, ever so simple, fresh herbs, and I put in some green apple. And what I love about the green apple is in terms of green apple versus red, as you say, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, but the green apples actually are even lower in sugar, higher in fiber than the reds. So, you know, Venus and I have been trying to really eat healthy and clean. So when you look at that low glycemic index, you just benefit so many different ways. I mean, the green apples help reduce cholesterol, colon cancer. I mean, Venus, we were talking about the other day how when you have an apple during the day, it just kind of cleans your breath and your palate, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually great for cleaning your teeth off during the day. But you got to make sure if you're going to do apples, you try to do organic because it's part of what we call the Dirty Dozen by the Environmental Working Group. They look at things that if you don't eat them organically, they're most toxic. So apples tend to be highly, highly sprayed. So when we eat the green apples, though, folks, I mean, one thing is it reduces your appetite because it's really high in fiber. Gives you a lot of great energy. What I like about it is it's got two different types of fiber, which is soluble and insoluble, very important, and quercetin, which is great this time of year for allergies. So, you know, go out there, think about what you're doing when you eat. Low glycemic is something I always like to share with people and all my patients is look these things up. Low glycemic fruits, vegetables, and grains and things like that. And the lower the glycemic index, the less it turns into sugar and the healthier you'll be. And the green apple does at the moment, until we find out otherwise in nutritional science, trump the red apple just in many ways. Again, lower sugar, higher fiber, high in antioxidants and what have you. So an apple a day, a green apple a day, will certainly keep the doctor away. So I think we have a little weird, wacky, and wonderful coming up too. So, Miss Venus, why don't you take the stage with the weird, wacky, and wonderful?
Okay.
Hey!
Well, considering we've been talking about racing and, you know, racing car culture and all that kind of thing, I did find some very interesting facts about the world of racing that, you know, a lot of people may know, but a lot of people may not. It's just unbelievable when you think about, you know, what goes into, you know, the cars and how they operate in their engines and so forth. And, you know, talking about Formula One, which is the most expensive, most prestigious car racing in the world, apparently the average Formula One team spends about $500 million a year.
Yeah, when you
like
said
the
that.
The team in itself spends that much money a year, just in terms of the cars themselves, the, you know, everything that it takes to run that race. I mean, it's a lot of money.
And I was impressed when you asked me to go outside today and check on your oil. I mean, that's about all I could do.
Right. So anyway, when we talk about the car exhaust, did you know Formula One's car's exhaust actually gets hot enough to melt aluminum?
So for those people, yes, it's aluminum.
Aluminum. Sorry, that's a British version. Yeah, no. Aluminum. It can actually reach 1,000 degrees Celsius, whereas aluminum melts at 660 degrees.
Oh, my goodness.
As a result, actually, of this, it's made out of exotic metals, so expensive that the average road car costs less than a set of F1 tailpipes, okay?
Wait. Are you serious?
So just to give you
an
idea.
I guess they're not made out of aluminum.
Of what goes into, you know, the exhaust of a Formula One car. And what's very interesting also, you know, one of the big places to have these events actually is Monaco, which I have yet to go there, but one day. So apparently the manhole covers in Monaco, because, you know, they drive through the streets of Monaco, the manhole covers actually have to be welded down prior to a Formula One race.
Now, why is that?
Why is that? Because the cars, the actual Formula One cars, will literally suck them up.
Oh, man.
Formula One car at high speeds actually produces a huge amount of vacuum underneath its floor to keep it sucked to the ground, while it's driving.
Yeah.
So apparently if a Formula One car drives over this manhole cover, this could be a big problem, right? I mean,
you know what? The first Formula One car driver to figure that out probably was not happy.
Exactly. Trial and error. And now when we talk about Formula One, of course, you know, the average Formula One race is, what, about 2 hours, something like that. Like nothing
okay.
like the endurance racing
okay.
of 24
okay.
hours.
Okay.
But they do take pit stops, right, quite often.
Sure.
Now, what would you think would be the average time for a pit stop? What would you think would be something?
Well,
I mean, of course, you have 10, 15 guys there, right?
Well, certainly a lot quicker than when we pulled into the rest stop going down the New Jersey Turnpike, which is about 40 minutes. So I'm going to say it's in the – I've seen it, so I'm going to be cheating. Under a minute.
Well, can you believe the average Formula One pit stop is actually less than 3 seconds? I can't quite believe that, but it's true.
I believe it. I mean, in the time
that you just read that sentence, the driver's already parked, the car's jacked up, nearly 24 guys are changing all 4 tires, and the car spins off.
You know what? I bet you if you're at a flat, you'd have 24 guys changing your tire. They'd probably take a little bit more than 3 seconds. A little bit more than 3 seconds, though, I'm sure of it. They would have taken a sweet bidippity time.
Exactly. And, you know, going off the subject of Formula One, dragster racing. Have you ever seen that?
Yes, I have.
I've never been able to get into that.
I like the actual road races and the
exactly
and the,
so
yeah,
dragster
yeah.
racing, but a top fuel dragster actually hits 300 miles an hour in just over 3 seconds flat.
Yes, I have seen you do that coming off the green.
And apparently it has over 10,000 horsepower. 10,000 horsepower. So basically equivalent
insane.
To the power of 22 Corvettes. So the dragster racing is actually pretty off the charts. And again, as I was saying, the top Formula One teams spend around $500 million.
That, for me, is very, very hard to comprehend.
That's actually only five times more than what the top NFL teams spend, just to give you an idea.
That's insane. But that's one team only, though.
One team only.
Amazing.
Well, again, you know, Formula One is the most expensive, prestigious race car, you know, event in the world. And, you know, people pay a lot of money. I mean, you know, places like, you know, Europe and Monaco, Monte Carlo.
Like, what's
an average
ticket?
Well, apparently the average ticket, believe it or not, is not that expensive. It's only about $500.
Well, you know where they make the money? Water, beer, and the like. I can't believe that to be true.
I don't know. It just doesn't sound right
to me. We're
going
to have to do a little additional research
on
this.
When you compare it to events such as, you know, boxing and MMA fights and, I mean, tennis. I mean, we're talking into thousands of dollars, more than that. So I thought that was quite interesting. That's pretty much it for my weird, wild, and wacky.
Well, that was really cool. I mean, I just love hearing all this, and it was a lot of fun talking about racing. Something we don't always do is break outside of food and our passions with that, but a lot of fun, and kudos to our guest tonight, Vincent Allegretti.
Oh, that was so much fun.
And his wife, Tina, and the whole Vincent Allegretti team of racers. And it's great, the race team, I should say. And thank you for Ed and Tracy calling in, made that. And, of course, Elena, was always nice to hear from you.
Indeed.
A lot of fun tonight.
We have a busy week coming up. We're going to be traveling this week.
We are. That's right.
Wednesday, we're flying actually down to Austin, Texas.
That we are. Pure
tell
heat.
Tell the audience a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're going down for Zymogen. I'm on the board of medical advisors for that. So we have our board meeting. We have a big conference we do. I think I'm going to do some videotaping for a commercial. I'm doing a presentation, but it's just a lot of fun seeing all the other doctors and people that are involved. Always doing it at a wonderful place. This is going to be the JW Marriott down there in Austin, Texas. And then somebody's birthday is on Friday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get to go into town and maybe watch some live music or something.
Yeah,
fun.
Yuck it up. And then what are we going to do after we leave Austin?
Well, we're actually driving down to Christie, right, on the Gulf.
That's right, in a Formula One car. It's going to be fun.
Well, I may be driving in the Formula One car. You, on the other hand,
I'll be in the pace car, like 80 miles behind.
Uh-huh. You can just meet me over there.
I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'll try to make my way through all the race car drivers drooling all over you, but I'll try.
No,
I'll just say at the end of the day,
Bob,
I still have our plane ticket on the way back. but it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be hot, getting hot in Texas.
We won't have a show next Monday, or will we?
You know what? I didn't even think that.
Well, we'll figure that out.
Well, we're going to be in Corpus Christi, limited time. We may do a rerun. Maybe we'll do a live from down there. We'll have to figure that out. We'll talk to our executive producer, Woody, and find out what we're doing. So, yeah.
Indeed. And, of course, you know, we'll be doing a lot of eating out, so I'm very concerned about that because, of course, we have to keep that on the healthy side,
yes,
you know?
Yes, but you know what? With Zymogen, all of their meals and even their big gala that they have wonderful, exotic, gourmet, healthy food. So
exactly, and while you're having lunch, after you finish, you could just bring some lunch out to me because I'll be poolside.
I don't know if I'm supposed to do that, but I did one time, remember?
Oh.
I was probably 10 minutes after the buffet went down, I got a nice plate of food for Venus. I snuck it out poolside. I didn't get harassed by the hotel staff or anything, so it was fun. It was really fun.
Indeed.
So you know what? Maybe next week we do a Dan the Juicer Man. I'll take a show or take some footage for the show.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So we'll definitely post something up. We never want to keep you without getting some feedback from us week to week, so let's see what we can do.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But it has been a great show, and again, thank you to everyone for joining us. And hopefully you have a lovely week. Enjoy the weather. And we may be joining you next week. If not, then the following Monday night.
All right. Well, stay tuned for what's coming up next week. And we'll post that up there on facebook.com/GHITK show.
Thank everyone for joining, listening in. Have a great night. And we'll see you soon.
Good night, all.
Bye-bye.